It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 22nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Want to know how long it's been since the store Best Buy has been selling electronics?
It's the newest, most exciting sound in town.
Yep, that's how long. An advertisement for an electric blender from the 1960s. The big box store celebrates 50 years today. Tomorrow, the company lays out its latest earnings report. The narrative hasn't been so great in Best Buy's middle age.
A few years ago, people were really leaving Best Buy for dead.
That is Laura Kennedy, Director of Retail Insights for Kantar Retail. Best Buy's recent challenges have a lot to do with the modern consumer. Kennedy says we know a few things about that consumer. They are
much more demanding and, frankly, expecting that they have a lot of information when they shop for anything.
More information like whether or not they can get a product online more cheaply, also how it works, how it's reviewed, etc. The Geek Squad, outsourced to the internet. Here's the thing, though. Kennedy says some people still want product recommendations in person. They want to hold the thing in their hands before they put down that plastic. Best Buy offers an update tomorrow before the markets open. The end of last week was owned in part by Uber. The ride-hailing company bought an automated trucking startup, Otto. It started a partnership with Volvo. The most surprising news, though, may have been how Uber plans to start letting regular self-driving civilian noobs actually hail autonomous Uber vehicles in the wild in Pittsburgh. Why Pittsburgh? Well, you might remember Uber recruited a massive team of engineers from Carnegie Mellon to help them in their self-driving projects. Vasant Dhar is NYU professor of business and data science. Vasant, thanks for coming by.
You're very welcome.
How will this work in Pittsburgh? I mean, is it just going to be that simple? I can hail one of these things?
Yeah, it'll be that simple. And frankly, I'd rather go to Pittsburgh than Disney World at the moment, because this is fascinating, right? This is history.
So you would grab one.
I would definitely grab one.
What's the biggest hurdle for these vehicles right now?
I'm assuming that we've solved the engineering side of this problem. And I'm assuming that. The major challenges now are just dealing with reality. And in fact, one of the objectives of this is to see the kinds of situations where vehicles trip up. You know, in machine learning, this is a big area of research called adversarial learning, where you
what does that mean?
You throw an adversary into the mix that just tries to fool you.
See, I'm with you on like I would jump into the car. I would do it. I'm game, but. This sounds scary to me.
Well, the adversary in this case is reality, right? But reality shouldn't be that scary, right? It's not like you have projectiles flying at you when you go, into your car.
Right, unless it's a water balloon of the kid who's playing in the yard nearby.
Sure, yeah. So a water balloon, goes by the car. And, as a human being, you say, well, that's a water balloon. And a machine may not have seen that before. But then the machine would hopefully recognize, oh, that was a water balloon, and it's learned something from that.
Does all of this mean that we're a lot closer to having autonomous vehicles all over our streets than any of us thought a week ago?
I think so. I don't think anyone expected this to happen quite this quickly.
Vasant Dhar is professor of business and data science at NYU. Vasant, thank you for talking to me.
You're very welcome.
It is Monday, so if you were like me, you might be taking some time here and there to look at your friends' Instagram posts. Their August vacations, their barbecues, their lake swimming cannonballs, while you are dipping your toe into a flooded email inbox. Here's a question, though. Can you tell from their posts how your friends are actually feeling? A recent experiment from researchers at Harvard and the University of Vermont asked some Instagram users about their mood, then looked at who was better at guessing those moods accurately just from people's Instagram posts, humans or a machine learning algorithm. The sample was small, it's not peer-reviewed yet, but the algorithm was better than people. Daily Dot reporter Selena Larson wrote about this and is here to talk. Selena, tell me what the algorithm found.
So the AI would see something that's blue, gray, black and white, have these different, fewer faces in the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of features would signify depression.
So can you talk about specific filters here?
So it's really interesting. There's obviously a broad spectrum of filters on Instagram itself, and filters like Inkwell. Inkwell is the black and white. Inkwell was by far the most popular filter used by depressed individuals.
It also had to do with like number of people, right, in the photos.
Researchers were actually surprised that depressed individuals posted more photos with people in them, but those photos had fewer people. They think it's kind of a signifier of the smaller social circles.
You talked with the scientists behind it, and they think that this could be useful in the future for basically identifying depression amongst users who haven't already kind of volunteered that information.
They said it's still a proof of concept. It was a relatively small study. By no means is an AI going to replace your therapist, but it could be a way to go into the doctor's office, have a computer take a look at your Instagram history. They can say, oh, well, it seems like here is kind of when you started, you know, your mental health took a little bit of a turn. Let's kind of, you know, investigate that.
So we all put this information out into the world all the time in our daily lives. What do you think we should take away from this particular study?
It definitely makes you think about everything that we're sharing to social media and all of this information that we're voluntarily putting out in the world. And someone who has the capabilities, who has an AI who can build something like this, they could, you know, find out this sort of really personal information about you. And sometimes this metadata that we don't even realize we're sharing could be providing more information than we mean to give.
Selena Larson, she's a reporter for The Daily Dot. She's moving soon to CNN. Selena, thank you very much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.